And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is, of course, brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza at the crest of the Division Street Hill, where the two one-ways come back together. Kind of a landmark halfway between downtown and the North Town Mall, which is considered kind of the north side. Building's been here a while, a little over a decade. We've been doing business about 20 years. Building's a beautiful building, big 75-80-foot high clock tower building, built from the ground up for this industry specifically. Actually, the only building I know of in America that is built for this industry ground up, with all the security measures in mind. Of course, it's a phenomenal facility, confidentiality, security, depository service unlike any other, just extreme levels of security. Kind of tried to do everything we could imagine. It's a little bit over the top. People that, you know, are architecturally minded, or construction-minded come here. I give them a tour and give them a little bit of the inside scoop, and it really baffles them. It just really does. So we tried to take it further than a bank. You know, trust me, we did. And it's just a special facility. It's unlike any other. You have it right here in Spokane, Washington. We're a high-volume, low-margin dealer. Our pricing is nationally competitive all the time. We are Christian owned and operated. However, you have to be careful about that. I'll talk about that in a sec. We can be reached at Coins Plus 444. Okay, this is Spokane. Spokane is Eastern Washington, 509 area code. Local 444-0044, or obviously 509-444-0044. Outside the area, toll free 877-TAP-COIN. Or 877-827-2646. Or I'll throw in 877-827-COIN. It's sounding more and more like very few people use the long distance number, the 800, because I think most cell phones make it pretty easy not to. Not a lot of charges. I'm back. A lot of you don't realize when I'm gone, we run reruns. But people call with some interesting questions because things aren't necessarily chronologically accurate. And the other frustration I get a lot of when I'm gone is, hey, how come you're not posting the radio shows to the website? There seem to be, shockingly, I guess, or however you want to put it, quite a few people that listen to the radio show off of the website. And so when they're not being posted, people think we're just dropping the ball because, of course, in the past, we've had times that we struggle with the technology. However, when I'm gone, I'm obviously not creating new shows to put on there. I had an interesting time. I went to Boca Raton, Florida first, to the Concours d'Elegance. Basically, we're kind of heavily involved in the Boys and Girls Club out in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. We've contributed a significant amount there. And because of that, the people that basically spearheaded that group are based out of Boca Raton, Florida, large auto dealers down there. And they took us down and we stayed at some beautiful places, went to a wonderful gala, met Jeff Foxworthy, the redneck guy. You know you're a redneck if you take a six-pack of beer to a funeral, that kind of stuff. Real funny guy, nice Christian guy. Got to talk to him a little bit. Good, solid Christian, church-going believer. Really loves God, in shock at where life's taken him. he said every day when he gets up, he's just humbled by the path God's put him on. He said, when he travels to things like our event, he just can't even believe that he's at this level. He's just so nationally recognized. He's hosted, the Country Music Awards and all kinds of things. And, you know, his comedy's real clean. You know, he'll have a little stuff that's a little on this, you know, I guess the gray area. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, God gave us a life and a world to love and enjoy. And as Christians, I don't know, maybe you can't relate to me, but I've been a believer since 1985, February of 85, technically making me a 32-year-old believer. But, you know, I've gone through all the stages. Many of us have the legalism stage, fear of the unknown, whatever. And a lot of times as believers, we deprive ourselves of joy. We create a set of rules and parameters that we want to live by because it makes us feel holy and righteous. I had a guy call here a while ago, angry with me because I said hell on the radio. I said all hell breaks loose. And he called me and as a believer and just absolutely thought that was the most obnoxious, rude thing I could say. And I was like, sir, I mean, hell's in the Bible. The word comes from the Bible. And, you know, and I said, you know, that level of legalism is what concerns me the most. It's not a bad word. Most of the really bad words are banned from the radio anyway. You start using them on the radio, you're not on the radio anymore. But it's just the fact that the amount of stress and tension that person is causing himself, because when they call me, it doesn't cause me stress or tension. I actually honestly feel bad for them because that level of legalism that we can impose on ourselves, Christ liberates us. He purifies us. You know, when you go through the Bible, there's some real key features, righteousness and justice. And like I've said, those of you who know who I am know I love Proverbs. To receive instruction is wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Chapter 1, verse 3, God loves it. He wants us righteousness and justice. These are the things that are most important to God. He wants us to be righteous and just. But that, folks, is a heart thing. You have to understand the outward appearance of man is of no interest to God. It says throughout the Bible, he looks at our hearts. That's all he sees. He cannot see this awkward outward appearance of what we try to do and what we try to say and how we try to look for others. You know, it says man devises all kinds of plans, but God knows the intention of the heart. And that's where it's all about. I've seen people over the years, a good family that we know and some kids that, you know, were great kids on the surface, and they're struggling so bad because these people go to an extremely judgmental church, extremely Calvinistic. And trust me, I am not condemning Calvinism. I probably am somewhat Calvinistic. The thing with me is when you get into Calvinism and Arminianism, it doesn't, to me, matter. It's like, did God know ahead of time? You know, where he says, well, you are foreordained as the elect. God knew you before you were born. Of course he did. He's God. And then the other is like, oh, it's your choice. The other is like, no, you are the elect. You had no choice. You'll know my sheep will hear my voice. And, you know, folks, there's truth to both. Armenians, the Armenianism, I believe it's called, a friend of mine leans that way. And he actually believes that you can achieve perfection on earth. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. I watched a documentary about the guys called the Sentinels in the U.S. military. Who are the Sentinels? The Sentinels are the men who guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. Okay, they have hands down the most stringent, highest levels of perfection in the U.S. military. If you want to be blown away, I don't care what branch of the military you've been in, what branch you've seen, you've got to watch a documentary on these guys. They've set standards that are so unbelievable. They will literally polish their shoes for 8 hours, and it goes beyond that, beyond everything, every stitch on their uniform gets measured to within 1/64th of an inch. If five or more parts of their uniform are off like that, they're out. And that includes all their badges, their buttons, their belts, everything in it, every step they take. Everything. And they walk, they call it the walk the mat. 26-hour shifts guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. The highest levels of perfection in the U.S. military. Unachievable. Guys work 18 to 30 months there. They do their duty. They get the Medal of Honor, the highest medal in the U.S. military. The only medal that can be retracted if you screw up at any time in your life. And it's the highest medal you can get. The reason is because to achieve that goal, to work that post, is the greatest thing in their minds that they can do. They're paying homage. They're showing their respects for the men who truly gave it all for this country, including their identity, to where people don't know who they are, but they died for this country, okay? If these guys, it takes them 9 months of training before they get a thumbs up or thumbs down on whether or not they get to go walk the guard. It's unbelievable. And yet, like they say, there is always room for improvement. If they're living their lives the way, and by the way, a sentinel that has this duty, it's 24/7 that they belong to the Army. Many of them sleep in the catacombs underneath Arlington Cemetery at the top. The military owns them during this period of time. And yet they admit they can't ever achieve perfection no matter how hard they try. Believer or not, you and I, sorry, can't become perfect. That's why Jesus wiped away our sins. Can't do it. But I certainly didn't mean to get on this topic. Calvinism, Arminianism, etc. The bottom line is, folks, it's these are terms and phrases created by man to try to quantify the incomprehensible. And what I mean by that is this. God created a fractional time system for us. Always understand this. We do not have full access to the realm of time. We live in time. We live in a limited time. You are on a moving escalator through time. You can do nothing with time. You can't stop it. You can't speed it up. You can't look forward. You can't see what's coming. You can look back in your memories, but you're limited. We have a half dimension of time. God is in all time. So when it says God knew you before you were born and he knew what you were going to do, yet he gave you free will and he didn't know what you were going to do, we're like, what? That's because we can't comprehend it. It's outside of our realm of comprehension. God made us the way he made us to live in a beautiful world and have an opportunity to know him or make him known and make him known. Our time on this earth is to enjoy everything God gave us and to magnify, glorify, and exalt him. And to understand that God is a God of righteousness and justice. That is what he loves. That is what he wants. And as believers, sometimes the most frustrating thing that we can see, as Solomon said, there's times that, the wicked prevail and the righteous fail. And he says, vanity of vanities. The problem is that we're looking at a snapshot in time. And we're looking at it through our standards. When we pray for God to do something great in our life and he's going to get and he starts to do it, you better get ready because your life's going to get messy. Because the way we want it done, we want to snap our fingers. God's got it done. Boom, done. God, I'm going to go have a cocktail. Thanks. Been a good day. No, we got to grow. We got to learn. We got to live by faith. God says, I'm going to do something cool for you. And it's going to, I'm going to grow your faith. I'm going to make you a stronger person. I'm going to improve your, you know, your fruits. I'm going to give you better attributes. When God gets to working, it's time for us to start a changing. And so many times I have a family member that's going through just a really crazy situation. It's, I guess I'll just be a little bit confessionary here. And my daughter, who's like 27, she, you know, godly girl, great girl, met this guy a few years back. You know, the guy had issues, and she decided to make him a project. And he, you know, which you don't do, she led him to Christ, supposedly, and on, and, you know, he had a lot of issues, and I wasn't crazy about it, and so on. And the guy's, you know, he hid a bunch of stuff from her, they get married, the drugs, he's doing, these old friends show up, it's drugs, it's adultery, it's just a continuous, continuous path of lies, just unbelievable stuff that I can't comprehend. I came from the streets and came to the Lord. My daughter, of all things, was raised in a Christian home, and she took it serious. And folks, by the way, when it comes to kids, grandkids, whatever, you can talk all you want, but kids learn what they live. Kids hate hypocrisy. To have a teenager rebel is not uncommon. Sometimes the more intelligent the teen, the more they're going to rebel. They got to make their own decisions, and all that's good. But the Bible says you raise up a child in the way he or she should go, and they shall not depart from it. They will return to it. You know, it's just part of life. But anyway, so she goes through this whole situation. This guy's just off the rails. Before the marriage, there's red flags all over. Of course, she doesn't want to inconvenience anybody, and you know, so long story short, the guy's, you know, he's drugs and everything, and she ends up pregnant, and he bails on her in 2 months, a very short marriage, absolutely crushes her, just crushes her. And then to, you know, kind of cover himself up, and she was a virgin when she got married, by the way, and to kind of cover himself up because he doesn't want people to realize that he abandoned his wife when she was 2 months pregnant. You know, he starts to make up lies about her doing things and, you know, just entering into that total realm of sin and destruction. I mean, the guy's just, it's just bad, you know. And so we're, you know, dealing with all that stuff and custody on a child is very uncomfortable. And, you know, yesterday the guy was just, you know, she lays out all the experiences she's had in some of these documents. She has to. And his response is to just make up crazy lies. They don't even make sense, you know. They contradict themselves, etc. But it's so painful. And like I told my daughter, you know, we're praying for God's will, obviously. We want him to do something great. She loves this baby like you can't believe. But like I told her, you know, this guy's doing just dirty, dirty things. And then you get attorneys, and they, you know, they believe, and I don't disagree. In the United States, everyone deserves a quote-unquote good or deserves the best defense they can get or whatever. And so attorneys will stand behind this kind of behavior and fight for their client because that's what they do. But it really isn't always in the best interest of the child. So what I was telling my daughter last night is I worked with her for about 4 hours on just a barrage of documents that just basically discussing all kinds of extreme things. In fact, she went through stuff so extreme when she was married. It's a good thing I was kept out of it, and she didn't let me know on purpose because she knows as a father, I might have temporarily became a Muslim and did a vengeance killing. That's a joke, but trust me, as a father, you probably understand. If men treat your daughter a certain way, that's a line. That's a line that few of us can cross over with a lot of self-control. But I told her, I said, you know, when God gets to work, and he is working, I said, he's got a cool plan in all this. And I said, it isn't going to look like we want it to look. He isn't going to make it easy. I said, you know, when he starts cleaning the house, a lot of times when you clean the house, especially if you're my wife, a lot of times it gets dirty before it gets cleaner. If you're going to clean the cupboards out, you can, you know, just reaching up there and moving stuff around, that's not cleaning them out. You got to take everything out of the cupboard. Then you got to clean the cupboard. You got to sift through all the stuff in there. You might even have to dust off all the stuff in the cupboard. You're rearranging the cupboards. You're putting them back in different cupboards. It's a mess. So when God's cleaning things up, a lot of times it's going to look like a mess. And so anyway, folks, I just, you know, tangent as usual. But, you know, prayers in that area would be phenomenal. And the thing that's hard sometimes is the fact that, you know, I spent years in banking, and because I was a personal banker before I went on and became a manager and regional manager and stuff like that, I was really involved in people's lives. And you get in the middle as the financial guy, I always ended up in the middle of all these things. And I tend to love people, and I love to talk to them, and I love to get involved. I have an ability to be real candid with people. And even if, you know, I'd get in the middle of a lot of this stuff, and I saw it from both sides. And in a lot of cases, there are two sides to every story. Absolutely. But in this case, and it's not the bias as a father, there really isn't two sides. There's one side, and it's, you know, this guy just did a lot of terrible stuff. And that's hard too, because the world /court/attorneys, I think, are so used to always seeing this two-sided story, and figuring the truth is somewhere in the middle, that it puts you in a hard spot when you're telling the truth on everything 100% and the other guy is lying 100%. If the courts on custody or whatever want to find the middle ground, the person telling the truth sometimes in the world without God's assistance are really giving up ground, because courts and attorneys assume you're lying. They assume both parties are biased and dishonest, and so they find the middle. So, needless to say, I assure you, my standards of excellence in my personal life are high, you know, and I love God and everything. And so, you know, we'd like to just see this work out good, and I seriously apologize for getting into that. But any kind of prayer for that, folks, if you can throw up some powerful prayers that righteousness and justice. And I won't, trust me, I could go a lot more deeper into that situation. I will not. But if you pray for God's justice, righteousness, and will, protection of my daughter and her child, our son, our grandson, Elijah, and, you know, the ex-husband who divorced her, and, you know, having chasing women and just apparently using drugs constantly now, and just lying, and I mean, it's just, we really need God. We need God to just shine a spotlight on the truth. We need the truth to just come out and show up and just exonerate my daughter in that situation. I apologize for getting so personal, but it's something that's on my heart. I know I got a great audience out there. If you could all pray for her and our family in this situation, it would be so powerful. And being on the air, folks, I'll tell you, it's, you know, there's spiritual attacks. And so, again, any covering of prayer you can put over us, much appreciated. There's a price to being on the air. After I spoke, I was one of the keynote speakers at the Tea Party movement convention, whatever. It's not a convention, but the first Tea Party gathering in downtown Spokane. And I believe it might have been in, what, 2009 or so. And myself, Matt Shea, and I don't remember who else were the keynote speakers there. After that, when Obama came up with the list, I don't know if you guys remember the FBI list of domestic terror, whatever it is, where they said if you're a Ron Paul supporter, etc., I apparently ended up, I think, on that list, because all of a sudden when I flew, I started to get run through the ringer. When I apply for a gun permit, It's always granted, but it's always delayed. Trust me, and I have a lot of guns. I love my guns. And we just signed up for the pre-pass. So when we travel, we can, you know, go through the line quicker. And my wife gets approved right away, and I get the big, bad delay. No reason. You know, they can't. And the other thing is when they do this, they'll never tell you why. It's a big secret. But there's a price. All I'm saying, here's what they said. This is from, well, this is a recent article in 16. The FBI has a list for the Gestapo police. They're leaning that way heavily. They're getting special training. This is what's happened to Ozzie Knezovich here. He's gotten this FBI training. This and there's some anti-constitutional activity there. They believe liberty and security are not unified. In other words, Ben Franklin nailed it when he said, anyone willing to sacrifice liberty in the name of security deserves neither liberty nor security, folks. The bottom line is, in a country of freedom, you can put a wall around the outside, and you should, okay? There's absolutely nothing wrong with Trump wanting to put a protective barrier on this nation. Anybody who argues about that is dishonest, fundamentally dishonest about it. It's just, there's the liberal gibberish garbage, but it's not real truth. What I like about conservatism is it's the truth. Liberalism is not. It's a lie. It's an emotional argument that it's just trying to make friends. It's not just seeking, as I've said, righteousness and justice. But once you have a free country with a wall, you should have liberty inside. Well, the problem is we are becoming a police state. I mentioned I traveled to Boca Raton, Florida. From there, my wife and I proceeded to one of the southernmost islands of the Caribbean, St. Lucia, for a while, for a bit of time. And, you know, the taxes there are far less than ours federally. When I talk to people there about the fact that our high tax bracket is 40%, plus if you're self-employed, you get to pay 40% plus another, you get to pay both sides of your Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid. So it's 7.65% times 2, 15.3%. We get to pay 55.3% to the federal government, my wife and I do. This is why it's so critical that Trump gets corporate taxes lowered. Sadly, he's not chasing it as quick as I'd hoped. He's chasing what's most on people's minds, which is obviously security, hypothetically Obamacare. But now people are saying he won't repeal it, and I don't know what's going on there either. The media is literally demon-possessed. We should not have to give up our liberty in the name of security. And the truth of the matter is, even if you count the deaths that have occurred from domestic terror or whatever, they're so fractionally minute. They're more uncommon than many of the rarest diseases. Now, you might say, well, Kevin, geez, every human life counts. You know what? You're right. But in this country, we act as if the loss of life is the single greatest, worst event possible, that anything to avoid that is necessary. We live in a world of what appears to be random chance. We live in a world of a sovereign God. He can let you die tomorrow. Christ said that clearly. He said, what do you, you know, basically when you plan for tomorrow, say if it's the will of God, because you don't even know if you'll live tomorrow. He told parables about people saying they're going to do this or that and dying the next day. Basically sending the point, look, you could die any time. Live today as if it is your last day. You know, kind of like Tim McGraw, you know, as I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull man named Fu Manchu. You know, I love deeper, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying and all these things. And he says, I wish that you too could live like you were dying. And we should live every day like that. If we live every day as if it's our last, death isn't so shocking, okay? The only difference between someone who's dying of cancer and someone walking around healthy is that the person dying of cancer is a lot more aware of death than the person who thinks they're healthy. Because we're all facing the same end. And frankly, 70 or 80 years on this earth is nothing. It's a snap. We get to go to heaven. That's great. But we get attached to the world. There's obviously sin involved in that. But there's also good things because we have relationships with love that are rich depth. And when someone leaves, like my father that passed away last winter, I mean, it's a loss. It hurts. You cannot deny that. I had a believer say to me, well, if you believe in Jesus, you should be happy he's gone. And I was like, you don't get it. You've never experienced that because these relationships become so deep and important, they're such important parts of your life. And I don't know how a person could say something like that. It's crazy the different comments people say to think they'll comfort you. The truth of the matter is, folks, we need to be understanding and empathetic of others. You don't always have to have this tricky little statement. And the truth is you've never experienced a loss of that magnitude. And I'm not saying people haven't lost their parents, but anybody that's as close as my father and I were, or you're just not as sensitive or whatever. But rarely are we going to talk to somebody who's mostly a stranger and come up with one great, you know, homemade, off-the-cuff piece of wisdom that's going to transform their life and say, well, geez, thanks for telling me that. I won't acknowledge my feelings any longer. It's just life. But the bottom line is this. Abraham Lincoln said, better 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man be incarcerated. I say, better 1,000 people die than 1,000,000 people lose their liberty. Or better 1,000 people die than 100,000,000 lose their liberty, or however you want to say it. To me, the price of liberty is death. And so when we try to give up every single civil right to stop the potential of terrorism, folks, you're not going to stop it. All that happens is every time we turn around, we got new rules. The last one was what? The guy that flew from Alaska to Miami, got out, checked his gun in, picked it up at the baggage claim, and then loaded it up and started shooting people, okay? I mean, okay, so now we got armed cops in the international airports, or I just saw it myself as I traveled. So it's just one thing after the next. Eventually, you're going to die. You just don't know how. Now, we need to crush these Islamic terrorists. The religion is flawed. It is not a religion of peace. It is not a religion of love. It is the devil's religion. It's a religion of casting you into hell. It's worshiping Allah, the moon god. It's basically rejecting Christ's deity. It's rejecting the Bible in whole. It's saying that Christians and Jews and infidels, which is the catch-all category, are all bound, not just for hell, but that they need to be misused, abused. You know, Muslims believe that they can sexually use an infidel woman all they want. Just there's no respect for life. There's no dignity. They can rape them. They can do what heinous, terrible things. They have a I don't know what you call it, ritual killing, where you take a family and you make the father stand there and the mother and the kids, and you start with the youngest child first, and you hatchet them to death. And I'm sorry for the offense, but this is Islam. You chop them up with a intentionally dulled machete in front of the parents and work your way up to the father. You know, we've seen them drown people in cages, burn people alive. And these are not the, quote, radicalized Muslims. These are Muslims that read the word and believed the word, read the Quran or the Surah or whatever, the Hadith, and they believed it. That's what it is. It is the devil's religion. And until we acknowledge that, we're going to get nowhere, which is why Trump's last executive order was shot down, because Rudy Giuliani made this stupid statement saying, well, instead of making it about religion, we decided to make it about danger. Well, that's just idiotic. You know, the problem's begun. You get these liberal kangaroo courts now that are just pushing their liberal agenda. They have no respect for the rule of law. You get sheriffs that are refusing to uphold the Constitution. You're getting governors that refuse to uphold the Constitution when it comes to illegal immigration. Folks, immigrants are not illegal immigrants are not immigrants. They're not one and the same. And the left will always combine these two. You know, it's just, it's absolutely insanity. It's such a lack of truth. And when you travel the world, it's interesting. People see things so much clearer than we do. Around these countries I was traveling, they're all, you know, a lot of them are afraid of Trump because of the media. But I had one cab driver, of course, a black guy in St. Lucia, because they're all black. They went there for slavery in the 1700s. Asked my opinion of Trump. I told him. He said, yeah, you know, he goes, I was all for Obama until he started to do crazy things. And he said, when he legalized gay marriage, he said, I was disgusted. I was out. He said, a man lying with a man, he said, that's filth in our country, he says. And I said, amen. You know, it's just common sense. It doesn't fit. But we're getting brainwashed and fed just rashes of deception. So, you know, basically, I guess what I was saying is I get a little bit overtreated when it comes to getting approved for things. I don't get denied, but I get delayed. And I know why. Because I'm on the air talking to you folks, Christian born-again believers. And the FBI list, what it says... It says here, it says, as part of the government's ongoing war on terror, the nation's police are now recruiting students and teachers to spy on each other and report those who appear to have potential to be anti-government or extremists. They use the terms anti-government, extremist, and terrorist interchangeably in their documentation. Think about it. The documentation they're teaching the FBI is teaching law enforcement officials, including our local sheriff, interchange terms like anti-government, extremist, and terrorist. Who determines if you're anti-government? Someone who's pro-government? No, it's always left versus right. So here's where it goes. The government continues to add a growing list of characteristics that can distinguish an individual as potential domestic terrorists. So here's part of the list. You've probably heard of this. Here's just some of the items. Express libertarian philosophies, statements, bumper stickers, etc. Exhibit Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, oriented views, belong to the NRA or gun club members. Read survivalist literature, including apocalyptic fictional books. Show signs of self-sufficiency that include stockpiling food, ammo, hand tools, medical supplies. Another one that the FBI has on the list to consider you as a domestic terrorist, extremist, anti-government sentiment is fear of an economic collapse or those who buy gold and silver and barter items. Basically what they're saying, folks, is if you believe in God and you do the right thing and you're living your life the way God wants you to live it, the way Jesus lived his, you are a potential terrorist because you're not brainwashed. It's like, it reminds me of when you go to the fair and you see the hypnotist and the hypnotist gets up there and he gets working on people. There's people they can't hypnotize. What's he do? He sends them back to their chair in the audience because he can't hypnotize them. When you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be spiritually overcome. You should be immune from being spiritually deceived. I say should be because I've been in the business/financial realm for many years, and I've seen a lot of Christians make some pretty foolish decisions. And I'll tell you something real quick, side note, but remember this. If you're struggling financially and it hurts and it gets uncomfortable and you're praying to God, help me, Lord, help me fix it. We need money. We need to pay this bill. Help me, help me, help me. God doesn't work by bringing you a multi-level marketing Ponzi scheme. Okay? That's typically not the case. God typically doesn't work through the lottery. Okay. So people will get a scam email right after they've prayed for God to help solve their financial problems or woes, and they'll buy into it and say, well, this must be what God's telling me. No. The Bible's clear. You don't chase a fantasy for money. Money comes from the Lord. We all know about the founders of Facebook and all this that became instant billionaires. Forget about it. That's not you. Biblical principles say you work hard, you remain diligent, you exercise character and integrity in all you do. I don't care where you work. I don't care if you're a custodian at a hospital. You dress up nice for work every day. You look good. You show up to work early with a good attitude. You treat all your coworkers with extraordinary respect. You act like a leader. You are a leader, not a boss, not a control freak, a leader, somebody that people look to and say, now that is a leader. That is a guy I respect. That's a guy or gal that I love or enjoy to be around. That's what Jesus gives you the power to do. You're indwelt by the Spirit. That Spirit inside of you wants to do what is right. So you show up to work like this every day. You do above and beyond in all you do. Work as unto the Lord. You don't say, well, I tried that, and it didn't do me no good. Well, the reason it didn't do you no good is because your attitude wasn't right, because you're whining about it now. It doesn't matter. You live for Jesus. If Jesus wants you, you know, shoveling manure, then do it with all the joy you can possibly have. So you function this way at work. You live as the icon of proper behavior, and you act intelligent, and you control your conversations, and you speak from a perspective of wisdom. You earn people's respect by living a respectable life and acting respectable. That's what you do for Jesus. Then if he wants to honor and exalt you, he will, because you're being faithful with little. He'll give you much. Folks, do not put in your mind the way God should work. You trust the Lord in faith, and you obey him. Christ said, you love me, you will obey my commands. And those commands include the book of Proverbs that says, the wise man does this and the fool does that. You read Proverbs every day. You want to be successful? I believe you read Proverbs every day. And you start to understand what it was written to Solomon's estranged son, essentially, who was going off the rails, who ended up doing a lot of damage to Israel. Solomon was aching in misery as his son was ruining his life and ruining the reputation. And his son wouldn't listen. And those of us who've had kids know how that can be. But you just do this. And you know, eventually, folks, God will exalt you. He will honor you. But God doesn't work. He doesn't make it easy. You learn nothing that way. 95% of financial problems people have, believe it or not, are self-caused. People go out and blow money on clothes instead of insurance coverage or whatever, and then you have a medical disaster. And then, not that insurance coverage is good, it's so overpriced. Do not get me wrong. But the point is, you got to live your life to honor God, and then God can honor you. So to go on here, what I was saying is that everything that the FBI has on this domestic terror list is really in line with living for God and being a good, wholesome, down-home, red-blooded USA American. The next one, after buying gold and barter items, you know, and we'll talk about that quickly, is subscribing to religious views concerning the book of Revelation. The next one says voicing fears about Big Brother or big government. You kidding me? I mean, duh. Expounding about the constitutional rights and civil liberties. God forbid that an American would be obsessed with the Constitution. How can you love America and not absolutely love the Constitution of the United States? And the last one, and trust me, there's tons more, but I can't cover them all, believes in a New World Order conspiracy. Well, just look around, right? I mean, these things say that you're a threat to the government. The thing we got to watch, all these laws and rules and regulations that are being put in place, like the NDAA, where they can detain you indefinitely without a search warrant, without any constitutional rights, because you are a, quote, what, enemy of the state. See, we're all like, oh, you know, I travel and it drives me nuts. People go, well, you can do whatever you want to me as long as I'm safe on the plane. Well, guess what, folks? Terrorists are done with planes. They got so many other things they can do. It's never going to end. But no, the answer isn't do whatever you want to me as long as I'm safe, because you're being conned. You're being deceived. They can always show you a threat. There's always a threat in life. Always. It doesn't matter what it is. They create false threats. Look what the media did to Trump. They can turn anybody into the villain. They're incredible schemers. They're very dirty, vicious people. And unfortunately, they do the bidding of a socialistic establishment-based government. Fact. Karl Marx said, control the media and schools, and you got the whole country in a short period of time. Propaganda and academia, and you win. Don't be a sucker. Don't be a fool. I know there's people out there that still don't have the internet and all that. I hate to say, but I don't agree with you there. I think it is the information age. Daniel said clearly, you know, close the book and open it up. When? And a time when knowledge shall increase and people will travel to and fro, which means all around the world. Well, the book of Revelation 17 and 18, in my opinion, describes the destruction of Mystery Babylon, which at this point in time, to me, appears to have been the collapse of the World Trade Centers. I've gone over that a few times. I love that topic, but I don't want to burn people out on it. But that's now making sense to me. Clear sense. Two towers within an hour. In America, wrapped in red, white, and blue, the big city, or the big, you know, the fruit that you long for, the Big Apple, financial hub of the world, you know, all the cargo fits America, you know, fallen, a double event, all within 1 hour, everything, you know, thrown down rather than a city that gets blown over or ran over, on and on. No question, I believe that's my belief, is what that is. Revelation 17 and 18, a prediction of the collapse of the trade centers, as well as the integration, the militaristic integration of radical terrorism from Islam. So he says, and when knowledge shall increase, and to and fro, folks, knowledge has increased with the internet. You need to be on it. Sorry, I'm not saying there's not a bunch of stupid stuff out there. You can get a lot of good information. I just say, because I've talked to a few clients that don't. I mean, if you don't want, don't. But just understand, it's not a sin, you know. So anyway, and basically, you notice there, they mention the purchase of gold and barter items. God makes a simple, simple system, folks. Very simple. He's made his financial system as simple as you can imagine. I mean, precious metals, when you own them, no one can do anything about them, really, unless they steal them from you. And you say, well, that's a great threat. I've had people sit here and say, well, someone could steal my gold and silver. I would rather leave my money with Solomon Smith, Barney and Jones, or whatever it is, as cyber dust at the end of an electronic wire, God knows even where. I cannot truly describe to you what or where your financial investments are, and you can't go get them back. You can't get a bunch of people back if the country goes haywire and break into a building and go get your stocks back. The minute the power grid goes down, boom, you're broke. It's over. And as long as it's sitting on cyber dots or specs out there somewhere, you're broke anyway. You got nothing. You got your 401k and IRA. You feel pretty good because you get the letter every month. Folks, if you're seeing a little bit of an upsurge in your investments, you better be, because the Dow has gone bonkers since Trump got elected. One thing to be concerned about, in my opinion, right now, folks, there is interest rate hikes coming. Donald Trump's the right man at the right time. That does not mean peace is coming. Change is uncomfortable, and Obama destroyed this country. Do you know, when I was in the Caribbean and I spoke to somebody from the embassy, what they told me? This blew my mind. He said that under Obama, now you got to remember, these islands are covered with blacks. He said under Obama, he raised the cost of applying for a visa, applying essentially to $2,000 for each of them. And he said they all get denied. They pretty much all get denied. But he said, on the other hand, if you're from one of these radical Islamic nations, the cost is nothing. He said like a total of like $20. And he said they all get accepted. So Obama's blocking out little countries like Barbados and St. Lucia and Grenada and whatever. The handful of people that want to come that are good, wholesome, in a lot of cases, God-loving, God-fearing people, biblical believers, you can't come in. You pay a bunch of money, and then we'll deny you. That's for the application. Once it's accepted, it gets worse. You're from Islamic states, come on in. I mean, folks, Somalia, Yemen, these countries that Trump wants to temporarily look at, that they're yarping about, folks, that's serious stuff. If you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, that's Somalia. Biggest, war quality weapons black market in the world. Everything goes, no holds barred. That's where all the pirates come from. It's bad. But Obama says, come on in. And the left is so dumb, they scream and yell. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know. There's all these young liberals are saying that they wish we had no borders and we just shared, like kindergarten with your peanut butter or whatever. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. They don't even know. They're ignorant. They're uneducated. These teachers should be ashamed of themselves because they're not teaching anybody to have any pride in American exceptionalism. Our children need to be proud of who they are. The more they feed these lies, the more they produce liberal socialists. This is the problem. So, there that lies. I will tell you, there's so many things I could discuss today. I'll try to avoid that topic. I think one thing on this trip I went on, I spent a lot of time in personal prayer and reflection. I just want to know God. That's me. And God, we have to fight really hard not to take credit for the good things we do and the nice things we have, because God provides everything. We're blessed from we as a whole, as the body. We get blessed, folks, when we take the opportunities that God provides, not necessarily the opportunities we wanted, okay? We've all got a dream. You may want to be a professional singer someday, but you can't sing. You don't pray for God to give you, well, you might, but it's foolish. You live by faith and open your eyes. God will give you opportunities when you pray and you look for them. But that is the key. God does help those who help themselves. God gives us opportunities to grow and excel. And we've got to go out and do things on our own. Well, I don't mean that. What I mean is we've got to use our free will to make decisions when God opens doors, okay? If our hearts align with God, it doesn't even hardly feel like we're doing anything, but we need to look for the opportunities God provides. I know so many people who pray and struggle with so many things, and yet they aren't looking for the opportunities God provides. So basically, simple as this, as we close the show, we need to live life on God's terms versus our terms. When we live on our terms, our way, we're swimming upstream. God's terms are going with the opportunities and talents that he provides and working within the system, not fighting the system. God is not calling us to shuck everything. If there's ungodly sin in it, kill it. But other than that, folks, you want as a believer to blend. You want to be the best example of a person. Jesus needs to be magnified. If you're fighting little battles that people don't even agree with or understand, and they have no spiritual meaning just because you're cantankerous and feisty, you're completely making a mockery out of our faith. You know, there's a couple scriptures I don't have time to get to today, Proverbs 1:24 on, and Luke 16:16-24. One's about opportunities, the other one's about making excuses. And the fact of the matter is God provides and we accept, we submit and obey to God, and life gets real good. Real quick, as I said, they're planning some big rate hikes, folks. Financially, we've got some tremendous stuff in, from some different sources, some of it from my dad's stuff and whatever. We've been putting together some pretty impressive investment packages. I want to touch on something real quick. Folks, we get people calling. You know, Coins Plus is, we have integrity and character. We're biblical. We're truth. We're going to sell you the best product for the best price. We're not going to sell you a bunch of junk. We had some lady spend some exorbitant amount of money with, I can't even remember. They start with a C, Cornerstone. Because they sell silver rounds, silver, an ounce of silver that they stamp, you know, I don't know what, Noah's Ark on or whatever. And they tell people that they're a religious artifact or something. And they charge some ridiculous premium. Avoid that stuff. Call Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. Let us build you a portfolio. You got savings out there, now's the time. I wish I'd have spent more, left more time to discuss it, but I didn't. So anyway, give us a call. Let us, you know, give us a shot. See if we can't help your money grow and be secure and help you do what God wants you to do with your finances, because I assure you that's what we're here for. Take care. God bless. Thanks for tuning in. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye.